I'll be leading the service this morning, but it's such a pleasure to have David taking the address this morning. I think that's a fantastic thing. David offered to do this a while back, I understand, and I think it's just fantastic that he's doing it this morning, particularly when you consider he just started the school year and all the pressures of the study that that brings in the first few weeks. So well done, David, for taking it on. On March the 20th at 1 o'clock, there's going to be a working bee here at the church. The working bee is for able-bodied people to join us. I'm not just saying able-bodied men, but women are more than welcome to come along and join us. We need to be able to move a shed that is on the northern side of the church here to make way for a gateway to be put in there, because that's a safety regulation that we have to comply with. But if you wander around the church, you'll also see lots of cobwebs hanging from places. So even if you can just wield a cobweb broom, that would be fantastic. And we also want to tidy up the courtyard area there. And the vision group is going to look at the future use of that area, maybe turning it into a meditative type area with a perfumed garden and a water feature or something like that that people can use. But that will be discussed in that subgroup. But it would be good to have people here on March the 20th at 1 o'clock to help out with all those tasks. Are there any other notices? Margaret?
This is a card from the people at the Adelaide Day Centre for Homeless Men. Dear Charlie and members of the Unitarian Church, thank you for your ongoing donations of groceries. Your contributions help us to respond to people who come in to us in desperate need and who often feel isolated. Your support is the encouragement we need in working with them. With gratitude and blessings, Sister Nola, on behalf of Sister Janet and all at the centre. Many of us here are old enough to remember Sister Janet Mead, who recorded the Lord's Prayer and got a gold record for that because it sold so many copies. Well, she's still there. And she's still very actively involved in this centre. In fact, she helps produce their play with all the men and volunteers working each year. Every year they put on this amazing play with a very strong humanitarian flavour. It's a very vibrant community and your groceries are hugely welcome. When we go in there to deliver them, they're creating lunch for all these guys who are round the streets and have nowhere to go, and it's a real centre for them. So thank you, everyone, from these people.
Thank you, Margaret. Perhaps Sister Janet Mead might be a possible speaker at one of our services. So welcome this morning. This community welcomes everybody. All are welcome here. Love is love. Black lives matter. Climate change is real. No human being is illegal. Women's rights are human rights. All genders are whole, holy, and good. Welcome. We light our chalice today as a symbol of our shared faith. May our beliefs shine in our hearts as guiding stars, leading us through the mysterious ways of life. Like the stars that guide a ship across the wide and unknown expanses of the sea, may it be so.
We can find hidden place in our mind.
You are listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. Views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the Church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au.
A place where the water falls and nobody ever calls. The sky is forever clear. The road never made it here. Forests are deep and
Well, it's a pleasure to welcome David up to the lectern this morning and hand over the space to him, which I very happily do. David.
Hello, everyone. Thank you, John. So, the concept of community is changing. perhaps more than it ever has before. The world is now interconnected at an unprecedented level. For thousands of years, people lived within their villages, within their city, and within their churches, mosques, and temples, and in many ways this is rapidly changing. Religious communities have been some of the hardest hit. In Australia, church attendance went from 36% in the 70s to 15% now. Whether for better or worse, things are changing. So, how do young people in this new world tackle community? Well, when writing this address, I hope that, if not wisdom, I could at least bring a new perspective, namely that of my own generation. You may know us as Generation Z, but online, a new term has been coined, which I quite like. Zoomers. The omnipotent being in most Zoomers' lives is not God, but Google. And Google, for its part, when asked the definition of community, gives, as an example, the sense of community that organized religion can provide. Even though we're pretty different from most organized religions, Unitarians are still heavily community-focused, and I believe this points to a greater truth. While many people can live without dogma, or even spirituality as a whole, no one can live without community. And it is for this reason that the exponential decline in church attendance among young people is in some ways worrying to me. See, for my own generation, I worry that we discard and often discredit religious dogma and prejudice, but as we do that, we also throw away something incredibly precious. Regular face-to-face community interactions, not to mention spirituality or philosophical intrigue as a whole. Talk about throwing the baby out with the bathwater, right? Okay, so when we are not at churches or markets or skate parks or bowling alleys, where do Zoomers get their community? Well, it is in online communities often. And I'm sure many of you are also part of online communities in the form of Facebook or other social media. Vincent Miller, in his book Understanding Digital Culture, says that community is not the right word for online spaces and argues for networks. But I think that's a little bit reductionist. Look at, for example, the messaging platform Discord, a very popular community-based platform, popular amongst people of my age, especially video gamers. Discord, in addition to normal private messaging, is based around servers, which are each a small community in their own right. You can see them on the very left side there. These are often based around specific video games or content creators. The level of community, of course, differs from server to server. However, many are small, tightly knit communities with rules, moderators, separate voice call and text chats for all sorts of discussion. These could be considered communities. However, scientifically, they are not quite on par due to the very real benefits of face-to-face interaction. According to Mobile Technology, its effect on face-to-face communication and interpersonal interaction by Lucas Langacher, the availability of instant communication seems to distract us from the communication opportunities in front of us. It not only seems to lessen face-to-face communication, but multiple studies have shown that internet usage can cause feelings of loneliness or busyness. Studies have also exposed the negative effects they have on body-to-body sociability, psychological well-being, and intimacy. I look around me, at my friends, at my generation, and I see people at once so connected, yet somehow so lonely. One of my friends hardly goes outside if not for school, and often he doesn't come to that. He is part of many online communities of artists sharing their works, but that's not quite enough for a person to live off. In these latest holidays, only once a week did he have that massively important face-to-face community interaction, and that was at his Mormon church. Certainly, it might have been better if he could get this interaction some other way, maybe, but as it stands for him, that was the only thing that truly connected him with other people. Another friend of mine was born overseas, and so strongly wants to go back that he immerses himself online in communities from that country, who speak that language and share his culture. All of his devices are set to that language, and on Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, and Skype, he talks in and with people from said country. In a way, he isn't really living in Australia. However, when he feels down, he doesn't talk to the people he interacts with daily online, but with his real-life friends. Because after all, we are the ones who truly know him the best. In the words of poet and YouTuber Gary Turk, there is a disconnect with all this connection. Humans are not built to truly empathize and be supported by people they cannot see or touch, which is one of many reasons why the current global circumstances are so horrific. In light of this, here's a passage from The Plague by Albert Camus, which is a book that not only sheds light on our current plague, but also about how poorly equipped human nature is to deal with the 21st century. Thank you, Hugh.
There are a couple of words which might, strictly speaking, be pronounced in French. One is the name of a town that's going to be mentioned, O-R-A-N, which I shall call Oran. In French, it might be Oran. And there's a gentleman mentioned in the text, a civil servant, whose name is G-R-A-N-D. Don't know whether that's grand in French or grand. So I'm going to stick with English. Okay, the reading. The plague focuses on a large town in Algeria called Oran, which is beset by an outbreak of bubonic plague and its suffering in isolation. One of its central figures is the doctor, Ria, as well as the diminutive and unassuming yet heroic civil servant, Grand. Besides the comforts sent by air or overland, compassionate or admiring comments were lavished on the henceforth isolated town by way of newspaper articles or broadcast talks, and invariably their epical or prize speech verbiage jarred on the doctor. Needless to say, he knew the sympathy was genuine enough, but it could be expressed only in the conventional language with which men try to express what unites them with mankind in general. A vocabulary quite unsuited, for example, to grand, small daily effort, and incapable of describing what grand stood for under plague conditions. Sometimes at midnight, in the great silence of the sleep-bound town, the doctor turned on his radio before going to bed for the few hours sleep he allowed himself. And from the ends of the earth, across thousands of miles of land and sea, kindly, well-meaning speakers tried to voice their fellow feeling, and indeed did so, but at the same time proves the utter incapacity of every man truly to share in suffering that he cannot see. Oran, Oran, in vain the call rang over oceans. In vain Ria listened, hopefully. Always the tide of eloquence began to flow, bringing home still more the unbridgeable gulf that lay between Grand and the speaker. Oran, we're with you, they called emotionally, but not, the doctor told himself, to love or to die together. And that's the only way there to remote.
Yes, but not to love or die together, and that's the only way there to remote. So, though its context is different, the lack of recognition of the actions of Grand harken back to this reality. It's just too hard for people, those not directly present in the struggles of a person, to truly understand what's happening in their lives. But I don't want to fearmonger about the internet, as a lot of people have done in the past. There are also many upsides to online communities. Never before have such huge quantities of new and unique music and art been shared by so many. You can find a group of people with similar goals and desires more easily than ever before. In general, online communities can be a force for good in the world. All I'm saying is, though they may be positive on many occasions, it is just not enough to fulfill the hole left by the disappearance or reduction of local and religious communities. There is currently somewhat of a mental health and depression epidemic amongst teens and young adults. And I could give you stats. From 2009 to 2017, major depression among 20 to 21-year-olds more than doubled, from 7% to 15%. Depression surged 69% amongst 16 to 17-year-olds. Serious psychological distress, which includes feelings of anxiety and hopelessness, jumped 71% among 18 to 25-year-olds. But aside from these somewhat hard-to-imagine numbers, I myself have had a surprisingly consistent amount of people my age talking to me about their depression, even though, to be honest, I'm not the most supportive or empathetic person by any means. What's more so, often this happens on messaging and social media sites. If they did not have this way of reaching other people, many would not have done so at all, due to social stigmas in real-life interactions, or IRL as we like to call it. The thesis that transition to online community is solely responsible for this increase is complicated by the fact that the proliferation of online methods of interaction can be both a symptom, a cause, and a therapy. In my opinion, being online more is not itself bad, but if you're both online more and IRL less, in real life less, then it becomes a problem. And I wouldn't pretend to know the answer or solution to this, and I might not fully practice what I preach, but I nevertheless believe that going to regular face-to-face local gatherings of some kind is really essential to the human experience and to people's development. Not only that, but being more disconnected from community, and therefore humanity, means losing meaning and perspective. Precisely the thing that many religions used to provide in conjunction with community. A free and responsible search for truth and meaning is another thing many young people sorely lack. And of course, that's not limited just to Zoomers, of course. Going to church or getting involved in community events is not a cure-all nor a wholesale solution. But for many people, depending on their circumstances, it may be a step in the right direction. Thanks for listening to my rant, everyone, and I hope you have a great day. Thank you.
Goodness me, first time ever address. So eloquent and thoughtful, thought-provoking. Much to think about, David. What a future you have ahead of you. I hope to hear from you from this pulpit in the future again, because you've really got a gift there. Fantastic. Thank you. It is a closing words, and that's virtually what it means. And I'd just like to read these words to you today. As we leave this safe refuge, this peaceful sanctuary, which protects our loving hearts from the storms of the wide world, may we take with us something of the stillness, something of its silence, and something of the joy within, to lighten our way when the world seems dark, and to smooth our sailing when the voyage seems rough. May we hold within us the peace of God's sanctuary, and know that those who carry love in their hearts can find the peace of sunlight on the ocean, and the stillness of unstirred waters, not just in this place and for this time, but everywhere and for always. So may it be.
If you can, I wish you would. Only if you feel you should, bring your loving over. All adds up with circumstance, all stood up with taking stands. Bring your loving over.
We hope you enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter and the podcast used in its entirety. This permission can be obtained by emailing unitarianSA@bigpond.com. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching SA Unitarians.
And highlights glisten, And the silence listens. Days that found you, embrace that found you. Here is a sunrise. Ain't it enough? True as a clear sky. Ain't that enough?